everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. I'm an intuitive speech pathologist and functional language facilitation expert. And I'm here to help parents and caregivers navigate the challenging space of caring for and raising up a child who's not talking yet. Today's episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast is just one of hundreds that I've created for parents and caregivers to learn how to connect with their late talking child and facilitate the behavior, social skills, and speech development that they need to be successful in the world. You will learn strategies designed to help parents prove to yourself just how powerful you can be as your child's functional language facilitator. Welcome for those of you who are joining me for the first time, and welcome back to all my new followers. Thank you so much. My name is Marcy Melzer. I'm an intuitive speech language pathologist and natural functional spoken language facilitation consultant. I used to be a speech therapist and work in the system. And now I help parents and caregivers get better results at home. And that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. You're going to learn in this two-part series. So it's not just so easy to set up a home program. I really want you to set up a successful home program. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And I was motivated to do this video by my clients and my followers. I'm getting more and more feedback from parents. I'm seeing in groups. I just saw in a group from Pakistan, I saw a mom in there complaining because she had had her child in therapy for months and or years with very little functional improvement. And I'm working with a client right now who has two boys that are late talking. One is 11 and still nonverbal. And she's got a 15-year-old who is verbal, but still has some communication issues. And both of these kids, all of these kids, have been in therapy for years. And after I started talking with their parents, I realized that there are lots of things that parents could be doing at home to get better outcomes with their kids. So whether you're in the middle of trying to decide if you're going to be home, this video is for you. If you're already decided and you're halfway into your home program or you've been doing it, this video is for you. And even if you've been doing it for a while and you're about ready to give up because it's not very successful for you, this video is going to be for you. And again, we're really focusing here on replacing this bad therapy. So if you have great therapy, if you found one of those intuitive therapists that's teaching you every time you go, and your child is making improvement between sessions because you're learning from the therapist, and then you're doing these things at home, that's ideal, because then you have an outlet, you're learning from someone, you're getting progress at home, you're doing all that. But if you're not, if that therapy that you've been taking your kids to, paying for, giving your insurance money away to, has not been successful, then this is the video for you. Okay, so that's what we're going to be doing. And I know there's a lot of not very good therapy out there. And that's what we're going to do. Now, most parents don't want to use the typical ABA or other behavior-based training methods. They just don't want them. And I can tell because these two videos have been observed, viewed among my highest viewed videos on my channel, and parents don't want it. And that's why I'm here, because I've developed a functional, structured facilitation system that is working for parents. A lot of the parents that are working with me were in therapy that was not working, and now it is. So that's what we're going to be talking about. And if you haven't already, I'm just reminding everybody who watches my videos should have this Get Started guide. You should be on my email list. You should be hearing from me every week to keep you motivated on your journey. So that's that. So let's get into this part one, where we're going to be, I'm showing you how to replace this bad therapy. Now, this step-by-step process, again, is for parents who have decided that they want better experiences and outcomes for their children. So this is it. If you want better than what you've been getting, I'm going to show you how to do that. And there are 11 steps. That's why this is a two-part series. So today on part one, I'm going to be sharing you steps 1 through 5. We'll help you get ready to take on the job. And then next week in part 2, I'm going to be talking about steps 6 through 11, which will help you actually develop your own structured, consistent program that you can stay with, you know, forever and ever. So here we go. Vera says, thank you for this topic, because I know there are lots of parents who are ready to do this. And also understanding therapy is not so great. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to do these 5 steps we're talking about today. And this is how you're going to get ready to confidently take on the jobs as your child's facilitator. So number one, you're going to realize your reasons why, not just because your kid's not making progress. Why do you think that you can do better? Because I need you to think that, right? And you need to discuss your plans. You need to find some help. You need to analyze the child's current level so you know where to start. And you also have to identify the goals and skills needed. So remember, this is why we're doing this home program, because you have reasons, things that you need your child to be learning, and you want to move forward with that. And remember, parents always have a choice when it comes to your child's developmental experience, but many parents also feel pressure from experts who claim to know more about their child than they do. I'm seeing all these advices from experts that go completely against this natural process. Many parents are feeling overwhelmed and frustrated by education and healthcare systems that they completely realize are often not able to meet their kids' needs. That's because at home, their kids are showing these behaviors. Whether they're doing it at school or not, they're still using these behaviors at home, right? And that's why you're here watching this video. And I want you to feel confident, and I'm going to help you. That's what we're going to do in this video, is to help you feel confident about making this choice. It's not just last resort, nothing else, nobody else can help me, I can do this. No, this is a better solution for your child, and I want you to realize that. And that's why this whole deal is your confidence. And in order to truly feel confident, you have to choose to do the work. And when you're completely informed and in the right mindset, because if you do the work out of fear, I talked about that last week, how it's not going to help you. So here, let's get started into step one. If you are not happy with the current daily experience, whether that's you in your house, you taking them to therapy, you putting them in school, you whatever, the very first thing you have to do is gather information. And I'm going to show you how to gather the right information so you know how to find better, right? If you're not happy, you're looking for better. And so you're going to have to start with self-investigation and ask yourself the following questions. And these questions that I have for you will help you realize why and how you can create and offer a better experience for yourself and your child and your family. And if you feel like you can skip to step 2 and get things set up without this, you're going to be mistaken. So let's get into your investigation. And you might want to journal this. You might want to write it down, spend a little time after your child goes to bed or something, thinking about these things. What specifically, number one, are you excited for the child to learn in the next month? What would help your life be so great that they could learn? And number two, what has bothered or disappointed you? What specifically has bothered you about the experience that was offered to your child by others? Number three, how are you able to meet your child's unique wants and needs every day? How do you understand them? This whole process that I'm giving you is your opportunity to change, because unless you change and you start doing something new for your child, you're going to keep taking them to the same old places anymore. No, you're going to keep them at home. But your home environment has to be created and change from what it is now. So even if you think you're on top of it and you've got things going on, you're watching this video because you're not getting the outcomes you want. And you want that to change. So if you want your outcomes to change, your effort, your program, everything has to change to facilitate that evolution of your child's development. And that's what we're here for, is teaching you just to get back into how it is to be a facilitator parent, okay? So the next thing you have to ask yourself is, what is stopping them from being motivated to learn every day? Are they distracted? Are they frustrated? Are they anxious? Are they whatever? And there are more. These are just the first four questions. So screenshot this, write these down in your journal. You're going to have to spend a little time thinking about this, because these are the reasons that you've chosen to change, right? So remember, number five here is, has your child been using manipulation to make you or others give them what they want? And what does that look like? You can write down examples in your journal. And then number six is, how is your child learning new skills and are practicing their abilities? If your child learned to read, if they have vocabulary, if they learned how to drive a car, who knows what they learned? How did they learn it? You need to figure this out, and you're going to figure it out through this process I'm going to tell you today, if you don't know already, because you need to know how your child is learning if you're going to replace that with better. And number seven is the structure of your child's current everyday experience. This is a big one. Consistently facilitating their functional independence in the world, or are there things that are going on that you are enabling this child to rely on you to get them through their day? Are you getting through the day, and in what ways, what areas are you just, you've given this up? Because you're going to need to take it back. So that's why I need you to know these things. So we have to start always with these questions for investigation. All right. So now, when you learn, remember, you're going to get a little journal, a notebook, something like that, where you're going to write these things down. And you're going to want to have this journal handy, because you're going to take a lot more notes and investigation and analysis as we go through the rest of these five steps. Okay. So step number two is discussion. So once you have your own ideas about why this is happening and what's going on and how your child is telling you that they want something new, now you have to have discussion, and you have to talk through your plans and get feedback from people. Now, I'm not saying you have to accept everything everyone says, but you can't do this on your own. As much as you think you want to, you really need to talk to other people. And you're also going to learn, this is what's great about this discussion phase, who of the people in your circle of world can you trust to be helpers? We're going to get to that next. Because you're going to discuss these things with people. I want to stop therapy and start working with my child at home, or I don't think we'll go back to therapy again after we took a break at year end, or, you know, all these things that you're contemplating making this big change. You're going to present it to people, and some people are going to say, "Ooh, it's about time. I know that school is not good." And you're going to have other people that go, "Why? Oh my gosh, what will you do? If you drop therapy, this child's impairment is going to get," like, you'll have people that judge your decision to take this on. And the people who start to judge you, you learn from last week's video that you've just got to distance yourself away from those people. Those are not going to be your helpers in this process. And this discussion is going to show you who the helpers will be and even how they can help you. Okay. So let's move into this discussion you're going to have with the people around you. Okay, so remember, this is how you're going to figure out how you can move forward with this. And what you're going to do is you're going to discuss this with everything. And in your journal, you're going to start writing down ideas and materials and equipment, because that's what people are going to do. They're going to say, "Oh, you could do this, or you could work at the park, or you could take them to the trampoline park, or you could take them to the zoo." You know, they're going to give you ideas that maybe you didn't think about, and you're going to want to write them down. Because remember, in this facilitator journey, right, you're not working off of anybody else's curriculum. You are not learning to be a facilitator for every child on the planet. That's what my certification course is for, and it's 40 hours plus long. Now, if you want to help your individual child that you know very well, than these people around you, you're going to be setting up your own curriculum. You might take advice, like I said, from these other people that you're discussing with and that you get interview questions with more, but you are creating it from scratch based on what your child wants. And we're going to get into that. And it's really important that you understand you're not trying to make your child fit into whatever online curriculum, whatever Mary Barbara, whatever this, whatever that. You are creating a program to fit your child. That's what I just wanted to really make clear here. Okay, so that's what you need. You need ideas, you need materials, you need equipment, you need space. This is where you're spitballing, you know, signboarding, doing all the ideas. You're discussing this. And then you're going to discuss your reasons for bringing it home. And that's where you're going to get your judgment or agreement or skepticism or whatever from people. And it's going to reaffirm your decision to do this, I hope. Because remember, that's what we need. We need you to be 100% confident. Now, you're also going to talk to your child about this. And you're going to tell them how excited you are to be their full-time teacher every day. And we're not going to be doing things like we used to. We're going to be doing things in a new way, a functional way, while we play and do jobs in the house and all of that stuff. And you want to discuss it with your child and see what their reaction is to giving up this therapy. Because honestly, your child also knows that this therapy is also bad, right? If you finally have come to the decision that the therapy's bad, your child came to that decision weeks ago, and they are super happy for you to do this. So when you're ready to become their teacher, you got to take on that job with the number one person that it matters most with, which is your child, right? Okay, so you're going to talk about your child, about how excited you are, and then you're going to share some ideas. Ooh, we can try, like I said, we can go to the zoo. We can be outside more. We can go outside every single day and play and get dirty, you know, whatever you plan. And then you're going to share feedback about your plans and get feedback about your plans and ask for ideas. That's where you're going to say, what do you think about it? What would you do? Do you have any ideas for me? And then when people do try to give you advice, yes, you should do this, whatever it is, whether you agree with it or not, get them to dig into their why. Why do they think that's a good idea? So just for example, I was in one of those groups looking and I saw a mom who was, this sitting tolerance thing is a really big requirement of a lot of schools. And this is why a lot of kids are failing to be successful in their school experience, because of this sitting tolerance thing. They're happy to learn, but they need to move because they're trying to activate their neuroplasticity. And most of what they're doing at the school is below them. And they're making them sit at a table and do things that are below them so that they can prove that they're making your child perform, do work. You know, they're doing the work, right? Whatever work is given to them. And the child already knows that that work is non-functional. They're not into it. They don't care about it. They're just doing it so they don't get punished, or they make that person happy and they give them their reward, even if the reward is a good job, you did it, because they're saying it to the other kids and your kid wants to get it, right? There's all these reasons that they're in it. So you want to get reasons from people that they, yes, you got to do this, or this is what you got to do, or this is why you can't. Just get detailed reasoning, because you're going to believe what you believe from these people, right? You're not going to do what they say. You're in charge. You're just using these influential people in your child's life to help you get ideas so that you create a fail-proof, successful program for your child, because we don't want you to get this started and then quit. Okay, so step two is to discuss this idea and write down your notes and really do more thinking, because through this whole process, you're thinking and thinking and thinking. And number three is to find your helpers, because it does. It takes a village to home educate. Now, if you think you've got no one, don't worry. I'm going to show you how to find people, but you will need to find support for your home plan to stay both consistent and sustainable. And I'm going to show you how to find help. You don't necessarily need to pay money for it even, you know, but you will need help. So this is like a few parts here. So you're going to have to find help to support the necessary resources that you cannot provide. Okay, so who can help you take a break. You don't need to have an educated person. You need to have a babysitter or a nanny or grandma or somebody like that so that you can take a break. You must be able to take a break or you won't be able to sustain it. And number two here, how much time do you need to manage other responsibilities? If you are a worker, if you are a parent to other children, if you are a child to adult parents who need help, if you have a partner who has needs, maybe you're in a home-based business, maybe you're in school and you've got to be doing learning stuff or writing reports or whatever, you need time that you have to 100% focus on those things. That means that you can't focus on your child. How much? You need to budget this. How much time is necessary for you to get these things done? Clean your house, cook your food, take care of your kids, because you're adding this on to your current responsibilities. And some things might have to give. Maybe you'll have to give some of those responsibilities, cleaning up, cooking, doing those things to other people who could help you, even your partner, right? Like, you know, you handle the cooking and cleaning and I'll handle working with the child. Because remember, if you still expect a hot meal every night that's ready for you when you come home from the work, right, that's there on the table, and you also expect your late talking child to start using functional spoken language and social skills, one of those things has got to give. Because it's going to take a lot more time of my time to work with my child, and I'm not going to be able to maybe cook a hot meal every day. Okay, so some things have got to shift and give, and you need to understand what that is. Make your budget, right? So how much time do you need to take care of that other stuff? And then who is it that makes sure that you are taken care of? Your emotions, your needs, your food, who makes sure you eat, who makes sure you sleep, right? Even if it's you, that's got to work into your budget for this. Because remember, you're not a robot and you're not just this hired help. You have other things to think about and do all day at home with your child. Okay. So then where can you find out in your world, in your community, in your neighborhood, wherever, open play experiences for socialization with other children? You're going to need this because if you are a single parent at home or a parent at home with only one child or one or two kiddos that are late talking like this other mom I just talked about, then you're going to have to find other kids who are talking for your child to observe and hang out and play with and get in fights with and all that other stuff, because this is how they learn. And they're not going to learn everything in your house. You've got to find places that are open play, places like the park, places like the children's museum, the zoo, you know, like neighborhood situations that you're going to find, Facebook groups, open play gyms, trampoline parks. There are lots of places where parents take their kids to play that your child will be in the position to interact, and you are in the position to facilitate that interaction and social play. And you need that place to do it because you don't have peers in your house like a preschool. Okay. And that's one of the things you need. And then who can teach your child the things that you can't do? Maybe you don't know math. Maybe you don't know reading. Maybe you don't know stuff, or you're not comfortable with potty training or this or that or whatever. Who's going to teach your child those things? Who's going to teach your child to tie their shoes and fix the car and do the laundry and all that stuff? Will you teach them everything? It's impossible. You can't. Even I admit, someone else potty trained both of my kids and got them eating vegetables because I didn't even have a clue where to start and I was too busy working two jobs. So a really wonderful babysitter did that for me. She showed me how to carry it over at home, and that's how my kids got that stuff done. So you don't have to do it all yourself. It takes a village. It takes a village. Okay, so step 3A is to find supplement the necessary resources that you can't provide. You don't have a bunch of kids. Okay, so now here's more resources that you can't provide. What new experiences can you explore and expand your child's access to the world? So have they ridden on public transport? Have you taught them how to swim? Can they ride a bike? You know, all that stuff that's going to expand their access to the world. What's your budget for fun and educational activities? You're going to need some money to go ride the bus. You're going to need some money to go to the, get your, you know, your membership at the Children's Museum or whatever. What is your budget and where do you get your money? Do you have to work? Do you have to do all that stuff? You need to know this stuff because you're budgeting your time. And the last one, you're budgeting your places and money too. Now, what resources are you lacking? You don't have a current source. Like if you don't have any income or you're on a fixed income and you don't have extra money for that, what are you lacking? You need to write that down too, because you're going to need to find it. If you're lacking it just because, I don't want you to quit. See, this is the point. I don't want you to stop because you don't have resources. I don't have money. I don't have friends. I don't have a partner. I don't have parents to work with, right? There's no reason to do that because you can be creative and find those things. And you also can't do it without those things. You need a money budget. You need time. You need help from people who trust you and will support you. Because without it, you will struggle. You will struggle. Can you do it? Yes. But it's not the ideal experience and it's not going to be consistent and empowering for you. But you can find this stuff. You can find money. You can find whatever you're lacking and help. But you need to understand that you need it. And that's what this exercise is about. And then what is your wish list? Maybe it's things that you want to buy, that you can buy, that you're saving for, you know, all of that. And I just want to say thank you for all of you who are watching. I know this is one of those videos that is more in depth, right? These are not short, quick fix videos. And I appreciate all of your attention. Now, step four, we're moving into step four where it's time now to analyze the child's current levels of functional development, because where your focus is where your curriculum goes, right? This is how you need to decide, what am I gonna teach? What does my child need me to teach? And you need these answers to know where to start building on your child's abilities. And I say this because remember, I want that to be your focus, okay? So step 4A is to focus on the observation. You're going to use observation to focus on the abilities to build upon now. And you're going to use observation in this first level where you're going to put aside all the reports and diagnoses from expert. I don't care how many you've had. I don't care what diagnosis. You could have an whole list of it. You could have recommendations and reports and IEPs and all that stuff, stacks of papers, IEP or ABA data sheets and reports, all that business. Stick it all in the closet and leave it there. You don't want to review it. You don't need to review it. These are other people's opinions in artificial situations that were created about your child. And whether they're true or not is a waste of your time, because you're going to start your own analysis to learn from yourself, because you're the teacher and you're not going to do what those people say. You're going to do what you believe is right. This is how we're going to get started. And so you're going to put away all those reports and you're going to stop focusing on symptoms, because that whole sitting tolerance, eye contact, those checklists and stuff, you got to put all that away and stop focusing on that, because you're going to look for skills as you observe your child. You're going to build your analysis with observations. You're going to begin with observations of your child, just watching your child while they play, while they struggle, while they get dressed, while they brush their teeth. You're going to begin with that. And then you're going to record video of interactions, and you're going to look for social skills. And you're going to have to review these videos and observations, right? Because you're going to have to take some time to really observe objectively, meaning that you're looking for information. You're not looking to judge, oh, I like it, I don't like it. That's out of this process. This is an objective observation. My child doesn't like when people talk loud. They prefer to touch people before they make noises. They're taking my hand and put it on top of the things that they want. These are the observations that talk about your child's current effort and focus on using communication to convey messages, hoping, that's what they're doing right now, hoping that other people pick it up. And you're going to see, do other people pick it up or not? Are they responsive or not? Are they reactive or not? And is your child, are these other people, depending on the situation? That's why you have to observe and record a lot of different interactions with your child so you can learn not where they struggle. You'll see where they struggle. That will come out glaring at you. But what you really need to look for is the sparks of skill where you can start from and build upon. Okay, so that's it. You're going to record these interactions. You're going to look for signs of anxiety, fear-based behavior that's blocking the child's trust that you are a great teacher. No, they leave when I do this. They don't like it when I prompt them. You'll find out. Okay, now 4B is the interview part of your analysis. So you're going to start with observation and then you're moving into interview and you're going to ask everyone in your child's life, those same people, to provide their input on functional communication. And they're going to say, how are you able to understand the child's requests? And they're going to talk about, they use these gestures, they use their whatever, they say the words, blah, blah, blah. What makes this child happy and what makes them sad? You want the people around your child to use their own intuitive process and tell you what they believe makes the child happy and makes them sad. And then you also want to find out if this child is manipulating that person. Are they trying to trick you? Okay. And then you also want them to really think about their understanding of the child's ability. And you want to ask them, how is he learning? How do you think he learned to read? How did he learn to do these things? Because remember, you have some ideas, but you want to know what other people think too. And this is why the people who do professionals who do analysis on your child, they go to your child's school or their daycare, or they talk to the nanny or whoever, because your perspective of how your child behaves, it's not wrong, but it is different because your child who knows that you intuitively understand them and can read all their messages and know their preferences and all that, they won't use their best language with you. But with someone, a familiar adult who they believe will help them meet their needs, you know, and understand that they're going to go and try to work them, right, to get them to do something for them or give them something, they're going to use their best language for that person. They're going to use whatever that person needs to understand your child. And so you need to see not just what is your child doing with you. You need to see what are they doing with other people and what are they using, because they could be keeping skills back from you that they're using with the therapist or they're using with those other people. And whatever they're doing to facilitate your child to come out of their comfort zone and try harder to use speech to communicate, you want this to happen more often and you want it to happen with you. So remember, your child has put you into this intuitive position to just understand them and know them and give them what they need when they squeak or look at you sideways or put your hand on it. They're expecting you to do this. They don't expect other people to do this, and that's why they perform more. So you need to change your expectations, right? You'll see, well, if he's doing that for you, what are you doing different? And you need to find out from these people. And this is how you're going to learn new strategies that work for your child, okay? Now, you want to see, what do you see the child practicing? What do they love? What are they doing? And then what do you think is the child's superpower? Because everybody has a superpower, and the people who observe and know and love your child will give you a guess about what that is. And those are important pieces of information for you. Remember, you're gathering information. Analysis is information, objective information gathering. And then step 4C is to actually look at the levels. So you're going to use the workbook for this, the level charts, to analyze functional levels of understanding and expression using spoken language. But first, you have to analyze your mindset and you have to analyze the child's connection with you. And then you can look into their understanding and functional use of spoken language, because you need to know, are they below the line of the facilitation zone or are they not? All right, so step 5, we're flying through these steps, but remember, you're going to have a really full notebook by the time you're done with this analysis portion and observation and interview. You're going to have a really good idea of what works for your child. What do they like to do? What do they like to learn? What all of this stuff, okay? And this step 5 is how you're going to cement that, so that when next week we can move into our plan. So over the course of this week, you're going to be doing these observations and interviews and gathering stuff because you might not be able to answer these questions yet. You might, but I promise by the time you start to interview other people, you're going to broaden your knowledge about your child. And that's what you need to be able to be comprehensive and successful. Okay, so moving over here, step five, we're going to identify the goals and skills needed for the most successful outcome. And what you're going to do is review your notes and answers to all those interview questions, and you're going to complete in the workbook the profile pages, where it's the late talker profile and the facilitator profile, and then this focus topics, right? Because this is how you're going to choose what to do to help your child use all these other amazing strategies and things like that to do. That's the focus topics. And you'll see here, it's all the things that you need to talk about in your life, and you're going to learn through this process. Okay, so the first thing you're going to do is identify the goals from child-focused perspective. And you're going to write down ideas for specific issues that need to be addressed now. What does your child want you to teach them? I want you to teach me how to play this video game, how to ride this bike, how to put on my own clothes, how to do what they are telling you with things they put their hand, how to cook for myself, how to find my own food. They're telling you whatever's important to them, their superpower. So if your child's superpower is building or climbing, and they're using that superpower to get to the toys, they're building chairs on top of each other and climbing on top of them to go get and manipulate the things that they want, because they're being self-sufficient this way. They're not being cooperative, but they are learning how to do all that. You're going to notice these things, and they want you to teach them how to find these things and do it more easily. And what will help your child become more excited about spending more time with you? You know, what do they want from you? What do they like from you? You're going to find this out. You need to really think about this. And then you also need to think about how you're going to address feelings of disappointment caused by previous experiences. Remember, that's where these expectations come from. Your child currently knows your MO, mode of operation. You're either trying to fix them, you're trying to help them, you're trying to feed them, you're trying to make them go to bed, you're trying to make them do things so that their care is taken care of. They're either doing it for you, doing it with you, you're doing it for them. That's what's going on. And if those expectations, if everything coming out of your mouth until now is some kind of a direction or a command, or you got to do it this way, or, you know, all that guidance and stuff, your child might not be very excited when you walk into the room, because it's all about, oh, she's here and now I got to do something, because I have to stop doing what I'm doing to go do what you want me to do. And you need this because you're trying to restructure your child's everyday life, okay? And you don't want them to judge you harshly. Like, they want to see that every time you come in the room that they get excited about spending more time with you, not annoyed that you're here to make them do things, okay? What can you do to turn that around? You're going to need to. And then how will you address feelings of disappointment caused by those previous experiences, because you don't want to cause them yourself? You're going to need to talk about, because they're disappointed by previous experiences with you even. And you're going to need to apologize for those things and move forward. Okay. Now here's the next one. Whoops. You need to identify the goals from a problem-solving standpoint, because every day, you have problems. Hang on a second, I gotta pull this back here. Yep. Come on, there we go. All right, so you're gonna write down the ideas for specific issues that need to be addressed now. And these are problem issues. So the other ones were your feelings, your child's feelings, their wants, their needs, their motivations, but these are their problems. And then how you're going to solve these and learn is, how can you inspire more independence for self-care and regulation? Because this is what your child has problems. They're coming to you because they need you to make them feel better. They don't feel good. They don't feel empowered. They don't feel independent. They feel dependent and need someone to care for them. And that's why they're coming to you. And then what will help the child increase motivation to try new and maybe even uncomfortable things, because they need to try new and maybe even uncomfortable things. And what can you do to help them increase their motivation? Making it more fun, making it more functional, giving more demonstrations, having less expectations. There are reasons that your child finds these activities a problem. And you don't want it to be a problem anymore. What rules and boundaries are missing in your household? Because remember, it's not just your child that's having a problem. I can't communicate and I need people to figure me out. You've got a problem. I don't want to see that behavior. I don't like you being sneaky. I don't want to be manipulated by you anymore. I see you have a need for control and you're trying to control me because I took away your phone and that was what you had control over. These are the kinds of things that you need to figure out. And it's a very intuitive process. You're going to really write these things down in your journal, and you really need to ask these questions for real. What boundaries are missing? Do you, that time and energy and all that stuff that you need, that you're literally giving kids food out of your mouth, or they're keeping you up all night, or they're smearing poo, or whatever they're doing? You need to get boundaries up around those things so that you're not putting out fires all the time, okay? And if they're missing, then you need to write them down. Now, you also need to identify your goals and how are you going to motivate this child to do more than they're doing now. Get them out of their comfort zone and working hard and motivated to work hard and looking forward to working hard, okay? So the issues that need to be addressed are, how will you inspire this child to practice the skills that you teach them? So outside of this one time that we, wash the dog or take a walk or whatever, and you're teaching them all about the bugs or the dogs or whatever, how are you going to inspire them to practice that vocabulary again? Right? How will you repeat the experience? How you'll do it? Because you can't just do one time. Your child's brain needs a lot of exposures to that vocabulary. So what were you going to do? How are you going to inspire them to practice? And how can you make your child's experience more consistently structured? So you're not just flying by the seat of your pants and taking day by day and chasing your kid around when they have tantrums. You're just reacting and responding to them. How can you make their life structured so those things don't happen? And what tools will you use to prove that you will teach your child in a supportive, empowering way? And those are physical tools. Will you use the swing? Will you use the trampoline? Will you use the beanbag chair? Will you use fat pencils? Will you use Legos or little people or books or whatever? That's the materials. But what about the emotions? Will you be more, see things from the child's perspective a little bit more? Will you talk more slowly? Will you be more accurate in the way that you describe things? In detailed even. Will you talk above your child's intelligence level so they become curious about what you say and not annoyed because you're saying the same old things over and over again? These are the things that you need to think about. How are you going to change? What tools are you going to use? Because you do need to get them to practice. You do need to be consistently structured, and you do need to prove to them that you can do this for them. Now, these first five steps are mandatory. So if you're one of those people who just popped over, no, I'll just wait for part two where she talks about the nuts and bolts and how to set up stuff and all that, you're not going to be successful. You really need to do this thinking, this research, this analysis, this observation, even discussion with other people, because it's going to get your mindset straight on, I can do this. I can be in charge. I know what my child needs and how my child needs to learn. I know the kinds of things they want to learn. So I'm going to put all the academics away for a minute and just get functional so that I can equip and empower my child to be a learner, to be a talker, to be a sharer, to be a cooperative learner and do things together. Okay. And that's what's necessary for your child if you do want them to go back to school and regular school, or be successful at the birthday party, or, even when you go to homeschool co-ops and stuff, if you decide to keep them home and do homeschooling forever, they have to have social skills and the things they need to get out of the world, because just bringing it in, you're not creating a bubble for your child. You're just taking over the teaching structure and process and plan to equip your child to be more independently functional in their communication, social skills, and school readiness. So emotional intelligence, ability to see things from another person's perspective, all of that stuff. And this is where the kids with virtual autism and the kids with true autism get weeded out, right? Because you, as you use your own emotional intelligence, planning, seeing things from the child's perspective, and providing them with opportunities and experiences they enjoy, are motivated about, and teach them things they want to learn, they'll show up every single day, happy to learn from you. And if your child is crying, either when they're walking into therapy or walking out of therapy, then this is one of those things that you really need to consider, okay? So this process is highly intuitive. And that means that you will need to teach from your heart, and you will need to use conscious, connected strategies for true success. That means you're not using someone else's curriculum. You're not doing withholding things or tricking your child or making them do stuff just because you can make them do stuff, right? You're not making them do stuff. This is a really important thing. This is not about making your child do stuff because they can. This is the mindset of a teacher and a therapist. They only have a short period of time with your child, and they're gonna make your child do, perform, work, whatever they can get your kid to do in that short period of time. And it's not functional facilitation. Functional facilitation is an intuitive process that teaches your child what they need to learn. And they are telling you every day what they need to learn. And this is not rocket science. Parents are teaching their kids. They have been forever and ever and ever. And the only way, if you're stuck in worry and fear and I don't know if I can do it and all this, the only way that you're going to shift out of that and into an empowered place yourself as the parent of this child is when you see with your own eyes that the child is making functional improvement, and not just at home. They're showing their skills unprompted to everyone who chooses to interact with them. Look what I did. Look what I am. Look what I show. This is what the school sees as a child who's ready to learn in a structured school environment. Okay? That's the goal. That's what you're looking for. Your child to start showing you and everybody else what they do know. So these people will stop watching them on their own, by themselves, in the corner on a video or playing with the toys because you took the video away. And they're judging the child based on their isolated, independent stuff that they're not bringing to people and communicating with people. They could be over there practicing all by themselves. And people are still judging them. And that's not what this is about. This is about you seeing for yourself, your child coming to you to tell you what they know and showing everybody else, and you being proud and bragging about your child. Look what my child did. Look what they know. 2 weeks ago, they weren't saying anything. And now I've heard, I don't even know how many, 25, 30 new words in 2 weeks, because I've shifted. I took away the worry. I took away the depression. I took away the stressors. I took away the judgment. All that fear-based stuff, and I started doing empowering things for my child. And that's what we're going to be talking about next week, right? Because the only way you're going to shift out of it is with this situation, when you facilitate it. Because remember, even when the teachers do, you feel bad. And next week, I'm going to show you how to create, initiate, execute, and sustain an empowering learning environment experience. Learning experience, environment and experience, right? Now, if you can't wait and you want to start learning now and you want to figure out what some of these strategies are, the answers to some of those questions that you have, they could be in these four videos. 10 things you need for a successful school term, even if that school term is you doing it at home. These are things your child needs. And remember, you are taking over the responsibility that the majority of parents are giving away to teachers and therapists and whoever else, ABA practitioners, all of that stuff. Okay. Now, 5 tips to change your child's mind. This is going to show you how to activate neuroplasticity and figure out what your child loves. 5 habits that block progress will keep you out of fear and judgment and chasing your child around. And 5 reasons you should hire a certified facilitator is for those parents that have more money than time. Okay. And you do want still the same thing. You want a home program that your child is learning the things that you direct. You still direct. When you hire a certified facilitator, you are still in charge. That person is just helping you with the time, the energy, the money. You know, they're not the money, you're paying them money, but they're helping you with the time and energy and effort that allows you to take care of the other things that you have to do in your life because you have those other responsibilities, work or other kids or parenting or whatever, community stuff. Maybe you're running for office. Maybe you're taking class. Who knows what you're doing out there in the world? That's very important. And you shouldn't put it aside if just because you can't find anybody to help you. A certified facilitator is as good at as you. And the certification program teaches nannies and caregivers how to work with parents, not to take the job away. So if you feel like you want to hire someone and get them trained to be your person, that's how you're going to do it. Okay. So these are the videos that will help you get a head start ahead of next week. There are also 800 more videos over there on YouTube to show you how, and the free Get Started guide. Definitely do this because then it puts you on my newsletter and you'll figure out then, you know, every week you have access to contact me. So don't miss next week. We'll be back next week with more of all of this. And like I said, Vera's here. Vera's one of my best watchers. Thanks for joining me, Vera. Thank you to all of my members here on YouTube and even in my community on wavesofcommunication.com. Thank you to all of my new clients who are signing on to work, parents who are getting the workshop and consultation package. That's been a popular thing, and buying the books, all of that stuff. Listen, I try to create these things. I really appreciate you buying them and helping me support the platform. All the financial support that I can get will help me continue to equip and empower parents. I'm not going anywhere, and it's going to get worse out there in the world before it gets better. So if you've been thinking about maybe it's time to take a break from school, even if you just want to give yourself 6 months and trial and error, your kids, it couldn't hurt, right? You're already dissatisfied with that bad therapy experience. So now you have the opportunity to think ahead and plan your new one. So Harika says, Marcy's amazing. Harika, you are too. Thank you so much for joining everybody today. And don't forget to come back next week. Start watching some videos in between. Get your notebook. Start your observations and interviews. Write down some of those aha moments that you're going to see. And so next week, you're all prepared with your workbook, with your notebook, with your journal, so you are ready to create the replacement for that bad therapy, okay? Thank you again for joining me, everybody, and I'll see you next week. Bye for now. You can learn more about the functional language facilitation resources I've created for you at my website, wavesofcommunication.com.